Will the secretary please call the roll?
Sharam Akamir.
Here.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Present.
Andrea Turner.
Present.
Joseph Wanzala.
Present.
Sean O'Brien.
Present.
Leslie Radford.
I'm here.
Summer Reese.
Present.
Rico Ross. Bill Crozier.
Here.
Alberto Luera.
Present.
George Ryder.
Here.
Richard Uzel. Nia Bidiaco.
Present.
Kathy Davis. Jennifer Yeager.
Here.
Alex Steinberg. Alonzo Brown. Campbell Johnson. Kimmery Orendorf. Marcel Reed. Jim Bennett is absent. Ifea Wangaza is present. I believe you have a quorum.
Okay. The first item on the agenda is the report from the auditor. Listener comment will begin immediately after the report is concluded, and whatever questions from PNB have been asked. I want to introduce to you Mr. Tony Pohl, who is our auditor. Tony, would you please give the report?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before I start, I'd like to turn it over to your audit committee chair, Ms. Betty Arco. She's got a few comments first.
Okay. I'd like to read the audit committee report into the record. Thank you, Tony. And it's according to California's Not-Profit Integrity Act of 2004, there are five duties of the audit committee. One, the audit committee shall recommend to the board of directors the retention and termination of the independent auditor. That's Tony. May negotiate the compensation of the auditor on behalf of the board. Three, shall confer with the auditor to satisfy the committee members that the financial affairs of the charitable organization are in order. Four, shall review and determine whether to accept the audit. And five, shall approve performance of any non-audit services to be provided by the auditing firm. Based on the aforementioned, the PNB Audit Committee completed three out of the four relevant requirements, one and four of the above. We have not signed off on the auditor's report because, as of the writing of this report, there are some major outstanding issues, which Tony will mention some of those. The audit this year has been interesting. There have been many bumps in the road, from the audit committee chair being prevented from signing the engagement letter to staff at one point refusing to give the external auditor information necessary to complete the audit because they're being overworked. For various reasons, I'm sure Tony will talk about that. Because the audit committee, through the chair, fostered an environment of open and transparent communication with the newly appointed executive director, Arlene Engelhardt. Welcome, Arlene. Staff and auditors were able to close ranks and come together to ensure timely completion of the bulk of the audit. In ensuring that the audit committee sees the forest not just from the trees, there has been some unhappiness among directors, but that's the nature of some of the interactions when trying to make sure that policies and procedures are complied with. Finally, the audit committee functions best when it has productive relationships with management. Now that we have permanent leadership, I have all confidence that the, quote, tone at the top, unquote, will be conducive to establishing and adhering to policies resulting in accountability all around. Thank you, Tony. And thanks, George, and everybody.
Okay, Tony.
Thank you. The board has in front of you the draft of our report for your review. As I mentioned earlier, if we turn to page 3, which is the report of independent auditors, our report will be unqualified, and that is we will give assurance that the financial statements are fairly presented. If you look at the date, the report is dated January XX. We have not yet finished our audit. There are a few issues that we feel are significant enough that we need to sign off on before we can conclude. At this point in time, I don't believe that our procedures will result, the additional procedures that need to be wrapped up will result in a change to these financial statements, yet I cannot give you complete assurance that that's the case until we've actually gone through and done those that testing. And that testing really revolves around reconciling revenues received at WBAI to the amounts recorded in the general ledger. There are also some issues surrounding some accruals of expenses that we need to get a handle on. As I said, I believe our report will be unqualified. If we turn to page 2, which is the statement of financial position, this was not a great year for Pacifica Foundation. Our total assets fell from $9,400,000 at the end of September 30th, 2008, to $6,400,000 as of September 30th, 2009. The single largest decrease in that is in pledges. At the end of June 30th, 2008, we had some $3,263,000 of outstanding pledges, most of which were collected in the current year. As of September 30th, 2009, that level of outstanding pledges had fallen to $1,118,000. That's a very, very significant decrease, and is reflected as we turn to the next page, which is page 3, the statement of activity. You will see in the very first line, listener support and donations fell from $13,500,000 in 2008 to $9,414,000 for the year ended September 30th, 2009. That is a $4.1 million decrease. Now, some of this may be attributable to the fact to the timing of your fall pledge drive. WBAI, for example, may have had a pledge drive that began in or that finished in October of 2007, and another one that ended in September 30th of 2008. So, in fact, we might have some additional revenues that were picked up in the 2008 fiscal year. Again, it's a timing of when the pledge drive occurs and when the pledges are recorded. You record your pledges on an accrual basis, and that means that when the promise to give is made, not when the actual payment is received. So if somebody promises to give you a pledge of $100 on September the 30th, we would record that as of that fiscal year. If they record the pledge, if they call the station on October the 5th, we would record that in the subsequent year. As I said, the total revenues fell by some $4 million. Expenses, which is the next subtotal on page 3, went from $16,693,000 to $15,242,000. That expenses fell by some $1.2 million. Two pages in, you'll see a statement of functional expenses, and on that we'll see that substantially that $1.2 million decrease in expenses for the current year is a result of reduction in personnel costs, which fell by exactly $1.1 million. Personnel expenses went from $8,700,000 for the year ended June 30th, 2008, to $7,673,000 for the current year. Those are the basic financial statements, and as I said, the rest of the report just breaks out in detail the financial results. What I've just touched on are the key ones. What causes us, and we still haven't, because we have not yet finished our audit, we haven't yet issued our management letter. And we're starting to draft it right now. As I mentioned at the board meeting last year, I'm very concerned about the level of control consciousness and control environment that really stems from the board. Ultimately, you as the board of directors, you represent your constituency, the members of Pacifica Foundation, represent your shareholders, and your shareholders are also the general public in the states that you operate. You report to the Attorney General of each and every state. that you operate in, you're responsible for this organization as board members. You represent the shareholders, the constituency. And it's up to you, it's incumbent on you to implement a set of policies and procedures that will, one, allow full accountability for all assets and liabilities, two, allow for a consistent application of policies and procedures, three, allow for accountability of performance. You're discharging your obligations to the public and the Attorney General by charging management to making sure that a system of checks and balances is in place. Right now, we don't believe that system of checks and balances is really in place, and what there is not working very well. We found that you have some fairly good information systems, but they're not being routinely applied. In most stations, we find that the people charged or tasked with running those systems don't really understand how the software works. We find that fundamental things such as bank reconciliations are not being done recorded on a timely basis. There has to be some sort of a level of accountability by the individuals tasked with doing that work, who report to the CFO, who report to the executive director, and who ultimately reports to the board. And it's your responsibility to make sure that is carried out on a timely basis, that the system of checks and balances works. That's in essence. The other issues that we came across, you were inconsistently applying your revenue collection procedures. In some instances, we saw revenues being recorded for pledges made subsequent to the end of the year, which obviously is incorrect. We found a lack of accountability for your fulfillment inventory. In every station, we noted that inventory was scattered here and there. There were no sort of controls. There was no counting of that inventory at the end of the year. And these are assets. These are assets that can very easily either accidentally or intentionally be thrown out or discarded or lost. You have no detailed records of your property and equipment. Your accountant, you rely on your accountants to provide you with details of the some of the transactions, some of the records that you're tasked with. You should have complete records of your property and equipment. You know, computers and recording equipment are expensive items, and unless they're identified and tagged and controlled, it makes it that much easier for those assets to vanish. We also found that the quality of payroll records was woefully incomplete. Payroll records and personnel records. In some instances, we noted that, in fact, I think this runs across all the stations, that authorizations for paid time off was not being properly documented or controlled. That could easily result in employees being paid more than they should be, or taking more time than they're entitled to. In another instance, we found that we noted some bank accounts may have been opened, or depository lockboxes may have been opened without the authority of this board. In another instance, we noted that your investment account at Charles Schwab, none of the check signers are now employed by Pacifica Foundation. So the condition of the organization at this point in time is critical. We see that you're not getting timely financial information. We think that at this point in time that the organization needs to establish some very strict and detailed policies and procedures so that, you know, whether if you need to, you can move an employee from Washington to New York or to L.A. and the accounting policies and procedures would be identical across all the stations. This is purely anecdotal evidence, but information. But I understand that in putting assembling financial information, the report, even the internal reporting across the stations by the same was not being done consistently. Items were being charged at different amounts. So the information that you're getting is, one, not timely; two, is potentially inaccurate. We made some very substantial adjustments to your records. I think we've got something in excess of 40 adjustments as of the end of this year, which tells me that as a board, you're getting information that's not accurate. And as a result of that, it's difficult, if not impossible, for you as a board to make financial decisions because the information you're getting is unreliable.
Thank you, Tony. Questions from the board? The board has had opportunity to ask questions in executive session, so there will probably not be many. Leslie, and if the people in the audience are interested, the copy of the audit is at the end of the table, and you're welcome to take one as long as they're there. Leslie.
Would it be appropriate to make a motion at this time?
Yes.
I'd like to move that we immediately provide signing privileges to the Schwab account to our ED and CFO.
Motion has been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to that account? To that? Hearing no objection.
Just a moment. I'm sorry, George.
Well, let me ask Arlene. Do we need to make this motion? Arlene, do we need to make the motion that you and LeBron will have the signing privileges on the Schwab account?
I believe we have the resolution.
You do have to have a resolution. Okay. Motion's been made, seconded, and approved. So you have that authorization.
Just a point of order, George?
Yeah.
If my memory serves me correctly, I'm sure somebody would be happy to do that. I think you need three signatures, and it's only two out of three, just so you know.
Is that correct?
If my memory serves me correct. You can check it.
I'm
sorry.
We really don't need instructions.
Okay. I moved. Okay. I can move it.
Okay. Yes.
It's very easy. If it's, I'm sure that Arlene is quite capable of doing that. If it's three, we require three. So I move to amend if it's three, but they need two out of three, and that it be the executive director, the CFO, and the secretary. What is the technical term? It would be EFIA, not Richard. The foundation secretary. Two out of three. And then I also have a motion, George.
Is there a second for that?
I'll second that.
Arlene, you want to make a comment on that?
Yes, I do. It would make it a lot easier if we had, you know, the two people in the office and one board member that was local to the account so that we don't have to send stuff out and get it back.
Well, the vice chair is Joe Wanzala, who is local to the account, so... Okay. Nia, would you?
I know I have not a problem. Just to make it easy, could we suspend the rules, please? Just add instead of replace
we'll
Joe.
Yes, just put Joe Wanzala.
And then I have a motion. I need to, which I forgot to, but another.
This
I
is
forgot.
In addition to that.
It's a necessary motion. I need to move.
I just want to be clear whether that's separate from the motion we're talking about to put Joe on the account.
Yes, as long as time doesn't run out before.
Is there any objection to having three signatures on the account?
With CFO, any two out of three.
Any two out of three, the CFO, or the ED, and the vice chair. Hearing none, that motion has been passed. You have another motion. Here.
I would like to move that we accept the auditor's report pending the finality and any whatever else that Mr. Pohl has to do to the audit.
Motion's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, the motion's been passed. We accept the auditor's report.
Thank you.
Subject to final conclusion.
Finality, yes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Tony, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.